evening, Trevor, and how are you this evening?
I'm very well indeed, Sue, and your good self?
Yes, yes, very well, thank you. So, I presume you enjoyed the football the other night?
I certainly did, yeah. A bit surprised, but pleasantly surprised. And onward we go to the quarterfinals.
We do indeed, which I believe is on Saturday against Ukraine.
It is at 8 o'clock in Rome.
I look forward to seeing that. I'm sure you will as well. Now, back to gardening. My roses have been absolutely glorious this year. Unfortunately, with the rain we had, all the petals are now dropping off, but it did look rather lovely. Have you got roses in your garden?
I've got a couple, yeah, mainly in the front garden as opposed to the back. And yes, the blooms are looking good. Have to spray them with green fly repellent because it's the time of year when they attract green and black fly. But yeah. So far, it's been pretty good, which is called on the deadheading. So you have to make sure that you're on top of your game with that. I'm sure you do as well.
And the idea of deadheading is what?
Is to encourage further growth. Plus the fact they look unsightly when they pass their best.
Yes,
but it's to encourage further growth, buds further down to produce flower heads.
Okay, so let's go back to June. Did you manage to do everything that you advised for in June?
In the main, I think, yes. With the rain and sun, it's been a good blend, sometimes a bit hot in places and sometimes a bit wet in places. But overall, it has been relatively good. Plus the fact it wasn't as windy as what I thought. So therefore, the peonies withstood the rain with the leaves falling down or the petals falling down. And that's the only problem. It causes a mess. But in the main, I've got everything done that I wanted to get done, which is lawns grass growing at a pace. So I have been cutting my lawn twice a week. It will probably go back to once a week once the sun starts belting down on the lawns, and also to cut it both ways. Otherwise, you'll be cutting it one way only. So I go up and down and then I go across because the grass roots, not the roots, the tops will need to be shaved one way and then another. It gives for a stronger growth. I put in another wigwam of French beans and have now recently set seeds for the third batch because more places are becoming available after crops have been expended. As long as you don't put the same crop in the same spot, you'll be fine. Revitalise it and then use your garden for what it's there for, which is at this time of year is growing crops. I planted out the purple sprouting, which came to 9 plants about 18 inches apart. So I was able then to complete the covering with netting of the kale, the cabbages, the Brussels and the purple sprouting. And all I need to do now is do the weeding and later on look out for the pest cabbage fly, the white cabbage fly, which is a bit of a problem. Once the sun comes down, they lay their eggs on the underside of the brassicas and from there it leads on to caterpillars. So if you're not careful, you'll suddenly see the munching going on of the leaves, which is not very, it's a bit dispiriting to be honest, but there are ways of reducing that. And the best one, I know it's not for everybody, but the best one is to go through the plants by hand and remove them. Best to wear some form of glove, but to move them, squash them, and to avoid big infestations. I continue to pick the rhubarb, which has really blossomed this year, really come out well. The thing is, you need to pick little and often, never pick more than 2 stalks off one plant. And when you're picking it, grab it by the bottom and twist it so that it comes off nice and clean. And that again will encourage more growth and it will be nice and tender. The garlic in the troughs have now been harvested, which was a good crop this year, I have to say. They were planted in October. The leaves started falling over, going yellow, falling over. So out they came a couple of weeks ago. And I've dried those and they finished drying now, which makes the outside of the garlic papery. So you know when it's absolutely dried. I cut them back, the tops, cut them back, and I've now bunched them together, six at a time, with string, and they are now hanging up in one of my sheds. So therefore, I can go pick one down anytime I wish to do so. And later on, that will be the same thing that will happen with the onions. They're the normal onions, I hasten to add. The runner beans, I erected a small row to take up the spare plants that I had from the big main row. So hate to waste anything, had the space, up they went. And yes, up they're climbing the canes at this moment in time. And one thing with runner beans, and they're not quite there yet, is when they get to the top of the canes, nip them off. You don't want expending energy into the air. Let them concentrate further down below. So once they get the top of the canes, and I'd have 7-foot canes in, and obviously part of that is below the ground, just nip the top off. It won't do them any harm. It just concentrates the energy where they're most needed. Another early harvest was my first early potatoes, which were in the tubs, and that was a variety called Rocket. And I was picking those, and still am picking those, as and when I require them. So I've got three tubs, and I just pick out the foliage, cut it back, and then with my hand, go into the compost and pluck out the delightful potatoes. With the first earlies, they're more or less hen size. They're not gigantic. That will come later with the second earlies. It would also be that of main crop, but I haven't got main crop. But they are lovely, and there's nothing like cooking new potatoes with mint and also peas. I had the first potted peas out of the garden. Delightful, absolutely delightful. It's a bit of a luxury because you don't get too many pods per plant. And it is, as I say, it is a luxury, but they come out earlier and quicker than bird's eye can freeze them. But you don't want to freeze peas. It's best to have them fresh. And a lot of people will actually have them straight out of the pods, not cooked, just straight out of the pods, which is brilliant. Absolutely.
Yes, that's me. I love peas straight out the pod. That's a little treat for me, I must admit.
Tomatoes, I'm regularly feeding those once a week with liquid feed, cutting out the side shoots. And when they will grow another 6 inches and there is the flowering, what they call the flowering trusses, I have got two or three on each tomato at the moment. I will pinch out the top of the plant to stop it going any higher. Once it's gone certain height, you then, again, like runner beans, you want it to concentrate its energy on fattening out the fruit that it's there for us to eat. The hedge, after checking for birds' nests, I applied the first trim of the season. I've got quite a long hedge, and it took a little time, but it's better to be safe than sorry. And there wasn't any nests in there. It does bring a lot of leaves and branches and stuff of that nature down, but you probably do it about 3, maybe 4 times a year. Watering consistently in the greenhouses. I know it's been cooler of late, but you still have to ensure that the tomatoes are given a regular water so that they don't get what they call blossom rot. It goes brown on the bottom. And basically, it was that doesn't deter the tomato. It does taste okay, but you wouldn't want to eat the bottom bit. It normally is as a result of irregular watering. So if you can water regularly, you shouldn't have this problem. As I say, when it was warm during middle part of June, I believe, I was watering it in the morning, watering them in the morning and in the evening. And the same with the chilies and the peppers. And with all this going on, when you're making room in the garden, obviously there is rubbish, garden rubbish, that kind of stuff that goes into the compost, which is what I've been doing aplenty with sawdust, greenery, and spent compost. All good stuff. And then a heat inhibitor, which will speed up the process of rotting down the contents. I also put grass clippings in, not too many, because it can stink. I think I mentioned it last month. It can stink if you put too much grass cuttings into a compost. I planted out a small row of leeks, which will be slow, but they will get there. And That is unique. And you dibble a hole, you drop the young plant in, which is normally the size of a pencil or the thickness of a pencil, and just add water. Don't fill it in with soil. That will come naturally, and you don't want gritty leaks. So that they will take a bit of time. But what I am pleased with, say, taking time, is the parsnips are looking absolutely splendid. We won't be picking parsnips for a while yet, but the foliage, and it's the first time I've grown them for many a year, and they are looking absolutely brilliant. So far, so good. If they get hit by it, I believe there is a disease, what they call canker, which is a rustiness which can affect parsnips. We will see how it goes. You're always going to have successes and disappointments in the garden, so be prepared. Obviously, you want more successes than disappointments, but there are times each year that a crop, it's just not going to grow this year. Apparently, people have had problems with their carrots this year. So I've grown the majority of mine into troughs, so we will see how that goes. They're a little bit higher than the carrot fly can attack them, but there we go. I sowed more pak choi and chard, and this time I put them into the ground as opposed to troughs, and we will see what they will be like. They're all come up and they all look good, and the chard, the ones I've got here, are multicoloured stemmed. All right, they're very small at the moment, but you can see the different multicoloureds within them. And that will be a delight in about a month, month and a half's time. The dahlias that I overwintered actually came up showing green shoots. So I've taken those out and put them into the front garden, and hopefully we will see what comes of those. But I'm very pleased with the dahlias at the moment, especially those in my side borders. I also got a hostas divided, which was given to me. That's doing very well. In fact, everything's doing well, probably too well, because sometimes you can get into a thought of putting things too, or plants too close together in the garden, and not realizing that they're going to grow. And then before you know where you are, it's getting a bit overcrowded, especially those that grow quicker than others, which will suffocate not only the light, but the nutrients. So you have to be careful when you're planning out and planting out. My lilac in the front garden, I've removed now. It's been there for a few years, and it was getting very, I know it sounds obvious, but it was getting woody, bushy and unmanageable. So I've taken all that out. I shall dig over the spot, tidy it up, nourish it, and then put some summer, I'd say either some summer plants in or put in some biennials, because I don't need to work too hard on the front garden. All my plants, flowering plants for the summer, are now out into the garden and into the tubs. I think I mentioned that last month about the tubs, and they are looking splendid. This is due to the weather. It has brought them on leaps and bounds, and I have two large begonias in big pots, and they are really surprisingly good. So you've just got to keep on top of it, and it will reward you with colour and splendour. I also put around the garden leftover marigolds. I put into pots, about 7 or 8 pots and 7 plants in each, because what that does, because of the odour of the marigolds, it can deter green fly and black fly. So you're putting it round in pots, by your vegetables, wherever, to try to, I'm not saying you'll deter them all, but the odour, they don't like the marigold odour, and therefore they won't attack the plants that they are near. Hopefully that works. I've watered with a hose pipe sparingly, because at one stage I thought, we have got so much water in the water butts, but you then have a couple of weeks without any rain, and it is surprising how quickly the butts get emptied. So sparingly, I used the hose pipe. And again, either in the morning, early in the morning, or after the sun's gone down at night. And regarding the watering of runner beans, is if you don't have any rain, give them a good water once a week. And I mean a real good soaking, so that it gets right down to the reservoir underneath your canes, where that is where you want the roots to be going down. It's no good just spending 5 minutes or 10 minutes watering, because it's really just going to be water that's laying on the surface. So you really need it to go down, right down. So even if it means going through for 20 minutes watering and then coming back 20 minutes later and watering another 20 minutes, it's okay looking at it, but what it just forms is a crust on the top. Tying plants to canes and willow, i.e. with tomatoes or chilies and peppers or anything that is outside, preferably you can use twine and you can use string, horticultural string, but try to A, tie them loosely, and B, if you're going to make the actual tie, make the actual tie against the cane or the wooden support as opposed to the plant. You should allow a bit of space, because that plant will grow anyway. You don't want it cutting into the plant. I've sorted through all my flowering bulbs that were lifted and dried them out, getting rid of those that will not go for another season. Sorted them out, stored them away in a dark place and in paper bags ready for planting out if I see fit. Obviously, you always add to them in the autumn, but it saves spending a lot of money, providing they are fit for purpose. Now, one of the bulbs you have to watch out for is the tulip that does like coming a little cluster, and it is easy to break off that cluster, and you definitely will not get a decent showing the following year. In fact, the tulip is probably one of those bulbs that you should replace every year if you dig it up. I mean, if it's in the ground, fine. But if you dig it up and you need to, like I did with my tubs, to put something else in there, it might be an idea just to replace those with new stock. Succession growing is continuing at a pace. In fact, I'm now on my fourth half row or small row of radish, as they really do grow quickly. But you need to ensure that they don't become woody. And woody means they're not very tasty. Let's face it, most vegetables are made up of water. So if it's purely a lack of water with radish that causes them to go woody a lot quicker than they probably would like to do, and especially in the hotter days. Therefore, the best radishes are normally when you grow them in late March, early April. But yeah, just keep watering them. Gooseberries, I've seemingly, before the birds get to them, seem to be having a good crop. I cut back the new growth by about 3 or 4 buds on each, and it's expanded every year, my gooseberry bush, and that is to allow the sun to get in to ripen the fruit, and the fruit will only form on old wood. So new growth this year will not have any gooseberries on it at all. So I've cut back some of that to allow light, and then sometimes it is a race against me getting the gooseberries. I can put a netting over it, but a gooseberry bush is very, very prickly. I will try and see what I can do, because this looks like the best crop I've ever had of gooseberries, and I'd like to enjoy it. I've repotted 2 marrow plants, which were leaping out of the pots I put them into, and I'm going to put one into a tub, because they have, although I've got 2 in the garden, I've got these other 2 earmarked to go into the big potato sack that I've got, but the potatoes aren't ready to be lifted. So it's a bit of a catch-22 situation at the moment. But with the courgettes, I think I said that I've now planted out all my courgettes and cucumbers. And in fact, the first ones I planted out, I have been gaining some fruits. I'm now on my fourth courgette, which is very good. It looks a lovely size. And now I notice that the two marrows in the ground, they're beginning to form their fruits as well. So we'll see what happens with those. I planted out four delphiniums. So I'm hoping they're going to climb up the canes that I put against. I've never grown delphiniums. So I need to see if the seed that these came from will prove joyful, because once you've grown a delphinium, then they will keep coming back each year. So I'm led to believe. I planted out another half row of beetroot seedlings, where the radishes were. So everything's coming to fruition at the moment. And I also backfilled with what I removed from the troughs in the garlic, took out a third of the compost, replenished it, and have now put in spring onion, lettuce, carrots, more chard, more pak choi. It does look delightful, but now is the time of year when you're harvesting and the jobs shouldn't be too energetic. I've got two large pots of strawberries, which are producing strawberries. They're never, to be honest, I don't think they're the tastiest strawberries. I used to have them in the ground. Now they're into the tubs, or a couple of tubs. I need to take some of the runners, which come off, and just trial along the ground and see if I can repot those and overwinter them and make them stronger next year. I've got some daisy light, I think they're called asters, and I put canes and string cordon around them because they seem to be popping up all over the garden and they do grow very quickly. So again, that is something I don't want to see snuffing out other plants that I've put in the ground. And I think, Sue, that's about it. I do apologise for rabbiting, but everything happens quickly and you're getting the fruition of all your hard work.
Well, what can I say? It's been a very busy month for you, obviously. A couple of questions. When you said about watering the tomatoes, do you water them from the top or from the bottom?
From the bottom.
From the bottom.
Aim it at the roots.
Yeah.
You try, certainly with tomatoes more than most plants, you can't help it if you've got tomatoes outside. But certainly inside, what you want to avoid is putting water onto the leaves.
Okay.
So I mean, it can scorch and it can encourage disease.
Okay, fine. And the other thing was the brassicas you were talking about earlier on. When are they going to be ready for harvesting?
Well, they normally take a long time. The one exception is the cabbages, because you have four kinds of cabbage, and they cover all the seasons, spring, summer, winter, and autumn. I've got summer cabbages, which I started growing in March, early March, planted out in April, and they should be ready, the heads should be ready for cutting in about early to mid-August.
Okay.
It all depends on what kind of weather we get with the development. That will be the summer, and they are the summer cabbage, and they will be a bigger head. The Brussels will probably be in late autumn. The kale, I think, will be about the same time, but the early purple sprouting, good job it is early, because it'll probably be about February.
Right, okay. Okay, well, look, let's go into a commercial break now, Trevor, and then you can tell us what your jobs are for July. Welcome back to July's Trevor's Monthly Gardening Diary with Trevor Mallion. Now, Trevor, part one, you talked about all the jobs and there was a lot that you did in June. What now have you got for us for July?
Well, hopefully for July, it's going to calm down in intensity. Really, a lot of those jobs for June were the front end of June as opposed to the back end of June. So for July, we're looking at continuing some of the jobs that is in June. And indeed, some of these jobs will go on into August. And that includes watering as we come into the warmer, continuous warmer months. We will be watering the tomatoes, the chilies, the peppers indoors, and those obviously outdoors because they will need watering. If we get the rain, absolutely fine for stuff outside, but watering inside will have to continue. Pinching out, if you haven't already done, pinching out the tops of the chilies and the peppers. And I think I mentioned earlier in June that I had done the ones with the tomatoes. So most of those have been done. It's only recently they've been done, but you still got time to do the pinching out and basically just snipping out the growing tip. The melons, now they have suddenly come alive. I think I might have planted them too early. I've got 4 melon plants in the greenhouse and they are now beginning to grow. We haven't got the fruits, we've got the flowers. And as I understand, once the flowering buds produce the first little melons, if you will, the first fruits, don't overladen that stem with the fruits. Ensure there's probably about 4 on a stem so that they can concentrate their efforts into growing. How big they'll be, I don't know. If it was anything like last year, I might be disappointed. But we... You know, you carry on, you try again. So we've got 4 melons plants and we'll see what they will develop. Again, they need watering, they need looking after. And ideally, they probably need hanging over something so they drape down. The second early spuds, I will consider lifting in about the middle of July. You have a little look underneath because they have started to flower. As a rule, after potatoes have flowered on the top, then give it a couple of weeks and then scrape back one of the plants to see what size they are. If they look ready for lifting, then lifting. But with these are in the ground, and what you do is you can lift them as you go along, but I tend to lift them all in one go. So I find a good day, drying day, dry drying day, and ensure the ground is relatively dry. And then I go through and just dig everything up, lay it out. I tend to get rid of the bind by putting it into my council bin as opposed to the compost bin. It's always what I've been led to believe, so that'll continue. But when you are lifting potatoes in the ground, be careful when you throw your fork into the ground. Don't go down from the top, come in from the side, bit level on the ground to make sure that you avoid piercing the potatoes underneath. So it might take a little bit of practice, but what you don't want to do is really pierce the potato, because the one thing that won't do is be a storing potato. You would have to eat that, within a week. But you lay them out to dry on the top for about a couple of hours so that the skins harden a little bit, and then you brush the soil off, and then you can bag them. I tend to bag mine in Hessian sacks, or I have a few double layered heavy paper sacks. In other words, potato sacks that they deliver potatoes in, and then store them in a cool, dry place. So that is what I'm hoping to do, but don't do it when it's wet. It doesn't do any favors, takes a long time to dry out, and it's just muddy. And also on that, when you are digging up the potatoes, ensure that you go through and remove every little, even the littlest of potatoes, because otherwise they will be there the following year and they'll up and grow and pop their heads out of the earth in places where you never thought they would be. So get rid of as much as possible. Regular liquid feed of crops is essential. Use what you will. A tomato fertilizer, which is high in potassium, is good for peppers. I don't use it for chilies because I use it's called Chili Focus. I'm sure others are available. I've never seen them, but it's specific for chilies. But with the Tomarite potassium fertilizer, I use it on the courgettes, cucumbers, and obviously this year marrow. With the rest of the crops, I use either seaweed extract or another general fertilizer, and some of it, liquid feed rather, not fertilizer, and some of it I'm still using what I made myself last year, which was a collection of nettles and a form of nettle-ish, which is comfrey, which I just put in a bucket, put water on top, and then put a brick on top of it for 2 weeks. So it does smell a bit, I have to say, but it is useful, cheap, and you've done it yourself. But you put that on the same concentration as what you do from that water in the shops. So continue with that. Deadheading is a must to encourage further growth of flowering heads and also mowing. Just keep mowing. If it is dry and the grass, it doesn't look as if it is at the moment, but if the grass suddenly lack of water, doesn't matter, grass will always come back, but don't cut it too short. It needs the growth of the roots. Don't cut it too short and it will come back. As soon as it rains again, it will get replenished. Pests. Now we've got regular pests that we discussed earlier regarding the cabbage white fly and the green fly and the black fly. So there's a whole load of pests to look out for. Just act accordingly. Basically, you just need to keep an eye out for these pests in your garden. The one that I would say is difficult is the, if you've got lilies, it is the lily beetle. Now, he is very colourful on the top, got a black underbelly, black hard shell, or red hard shell on the top, and you normally find him on the top of the lily, which if you pick him up with your hand and put him down on the ground, he feigns, and it literally is the story, he feigns as if he's died. He goes on his back and he feigns he's died. Well, you can get rid of them whichever way you wish, but don't leave him like that, because once you've gone, he'll just laugh at you and get back onto the lilies. And the larva is the not very nice. Their larva is normally under the underside of the lily, and it is an orange larvae, but they encase themselves in a, for want of a better word, it looks like brown pooey stuff. And it doesn't smell, but it's not very nice. And that's the whole idea, is to deter its predators from getting its larvae. But you need to move that, because that's what the larvae is feeding on the leaves as well. And the sure sign of them feeding on leaves is they suck the sap out of the leaves, and then they all look a bit papery thin and whatever. And it can lead to the plant actually dying. You can, with a pest in pest spray, make sure it says lily beetle on there along with all the others. You can do it that way. I tend to get rid of them other ways, but you can do it that way. Shallots. Now we're coming to one of my favourite times of the year, of lifting the shallots. Again, a bit like garlic, once they start falling over and leaves going yellow, then it is the right time to lift shallots. And you lift those on a dry day, let them dry out on the top for a short while, But what they will need is about 2 weeks of drying. So there's two ways. You either lay them out on, I lay mine out on a blanket on the lawn, and then wrap it up at the end of the day and put it into the shed and then bring them out. Or if it's going to be wet, I put them in the greenhouse on racks and let them dry that way. But it does take a little while for them to dry. Once they're dry, then we go on to what I'll talk about in August. Runner beans, it will should be start harvesting those in mid to late July. And the art of producing a lot of runner beans, apart from luck, is to pick regularly. And when I mean pick regularly, it's really picking every other day in the height of the season. That is to encourage A, more growth, but B, more importantly, if you don't pick regularly and you let them go long and old, then they stop producing beans, simple as. So it's in your best interest to keep picking. So keep picking, keep producing, as simple as that. And hoe regularly. Try not to put the hoe through the plant. It doesn't help them either way. But hoe regularly, give them some air around the bottom, because that's what they like, air, sun, and water. Harvesting of all manners of things will be happening this month. Maybe on a regular basis, maybe not. Your cucumbers will be ripe for harvesting, and hopefully people will have a good crop. Beetroot in about a month's time will be at its best. The tomatoes will be coming along, and they will be being plucked when they're nice. And I only grow red ones, so they'll only be red. You can grow different coloured ones. Well, obviously not green ones because they're not ripe. But courgettes, marrows, gooseberries, pak choi, lettuce. It is a brilliant time of year, August, we're not in there yet, are we? July, it's a brilliant time of year. It's the start of the main harvest season, and hopefully it'll go right through to September. Some crops will go on through to October. So there is a lot to be done, but it's pleasant. So
lovely.
So that is what is intended to be done for July. I will do more succession growing as one sees fit. With French beans, you can grow them. I will put another batch in July because that would last through to August. No, not August, September, maybe October, certainly before the first frosts. So that is what you're looking at, is continuing having crops out of your own garden.
Okay, so that's your tips for July. So what will you be harvesting?
I will be harvesting courgettes, pak choi, spring onions, shallots, tomatoes.
This will be before August, yes?
This should be before August. It's not necessarily the things will be at their most rampant, but you will be harvesting. Certainly cucumbers, courgettes and tomatoes. And runner beans and French beans.
Okay, that's lovely. All right, then, well, we'll finish. We'll go to a break again, and then we'll come back with listeners' questions. Okay, welcome back with July's Gardening Diary with Trevor Mallion. And we're in our last part now. And I think you've got a couple of listeners' questions there, Trevor.
I have. How often should plants be fed? Which is a very common question, other than the fact that you look on the instructions on the container that you're using and don't make the solution too strong. A lot of people think that you make the what they say on the tin is not right. It's not, but it's there for a reason. So if they say half a thimble full or cap top per four and a half litres, then stick to that. That is what I would say. And it's generally you feed once a week. Try to avoid feeding any frequently than once a week. It gives the plants chance to absorb that those nutrients that are being fed into it. You don't want to overfeed. It won't do them any good whatsoever. So, as I say, once a week, make it to the ingredient that is given, the dilution rate given, and you should be okay. Then now the next question is, when should you stop picking rhubarb? Now you should stop picking rhubarb after July, as it becomes stringy and tough. Let the leaves gradually die back and they will go yellow, and then gradually just pick those out, discard them onto the compost heap, and let the rhubarb plant die down naturally, die back naturally. It won't die, but die back naturally. And depending on how long you've had your rhubarb plant in the ground, people call them their tubers, their rhizomes, they need refreshing possibly every 5 years. When we talk about refreshing, it means dividing. And the simplest way to divide, and you won't do it any harm, is just dig the plant out and with a spade, just make sure it's the plant you do and not your foot, and go through the plant that way. And then you can either give one to a friend and you put the other one back into the ground. That is the best way to do it. And that's how you'll revigorate the plant. But certainly in terms of growing and picking rhubarb, don't go beyond July.
Okay, so those are two questions.
They are the two questions, okay. Yes.
Have you had a chance to have a look at what the weather's going to be like for July? It's not very summery at the moment.
I haven't. I don't look too far into the future with weather. It's experience has told me that if you go for more than a week, you're going to be have problems. So I tend to do it on a weekly basis. I get one off the television and then work from there. And I can work around that. So I would think it's going to be a normal summer. We'll have a hot spell, and then we will have rain. What has been useful this year is we've had rain in really the right, well, probably if you live in a floodplain, you wouldn't say it's the right quantities, but we have had rain when we've wanted it, and we've had the sun when we've wanted it, which is not always the case. So I look forward to evening itself out. Whether we'll have a Indian summer in September, I don't know. But I'm hoping July will be useful, because that is the growing part.
Yeah, unfortunately, the last few Julys have been pretty miserable. But let's hope that this will be a summer in July, as it's my birthday month and I always like to have a good sunny day. Okay, Trevor. Well, thank you very much. And we will see you at the beginning of August, and have a lovely month, won't you?
And your good selves. You take care and happy harvesting.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
With all those wonderful vegetables growing at the moment, let me give you a recipe for ratatouille. This is a Jamie Oliver recipe. Now, what you will need are 2 red onions, 4 cloves of garlic, 2 aubergines, 3 courgettes, 3 red or yellow peppers, 6 ripe tomatoes, half a bunch of fresh basil, olive oil, a few sprigs of fresh thyme, 1 400 gram tin of quality plum tomatoes, 1 tablespoonful of balsamic vinegar, and half a lemon. And this is how you start. Peel and cut the onions into wedges, then peel and finely slice the garlic. Trim the aubergines and courgettes. De-seed the peppers and chop into 2.5 centimetre chunks. Roughly chop the tomatoes, pick the basil leaves and set aside. Then finely slice the stalks. Heat 2 tablespoonfuls of oil in a large casserole pan or saucepan over a medium heat. Add the chopped aubergines, courgettes and peppers. You may need to do this in batches and fry for around 5 minutes or until golden and softened, but not cooked through. Spoon the cooked veg into a large bowl. To the pan, add the onion, garlic, basil stalks and thyme leaves with another drizzle of oil if needed. Fry for 10 to 15 minutes or until softened and golden. Return the cooked veg to the pan and stir in the fresh and tinned tomatoes, the balsamic vinegar and a good pinch of salt and black pepper. Mix well, breaking up the tomatoes with the back of a spoon. Cover the pan and simmer over a low heat for 30 to 35 minutes or until reduced, sticky and sweet. Tear in the basil leaves, finely grate in the lemon zest and adjust the seasoning if needed. Serve with a hunk of bread or steamed rice. Absolutely delicious!